New quarantine classifications for the Philippines set to be announced today. We'll be speaking to San Juan City Mayor Francis Zamora on the recommendation of Metro Manila mayors to keep the general community quarantine status. Senate President Vicente Soto III says it is unlikely the Philippines' third economic stimulus bill will hurdle the Senate this week. A rift in the ruling party. Party Chairman President Duterte orders the PDP Laban to push through with its meeting today, overruling Party President Manny Pacquiao's directive for members to ignore it. And Tropical Storm Dante dumps rains over parts of Mindanao as it moves northward. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is set to announce quarantine classifications for the month of June later on today. Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. said the COVID-19 interagency task force has already discussed whether to retain or downgrade quarantine restrictions over the national capital region. Galvez adds the IATF will be meeting again later to address the appeal of some local government units outside Metro Manila for tighter restrictions as they battle surges in COVID-19 infections. The general community quarantine, or GCQ, with heightened restrictions over the NCR Plus area ends today. Metro Manila mayors want to retain it, but they also want to open up more businesses.
Ang recommendation din po ng ating MMC ay GCQ pa rin po tayo. Pero okay, Merong pagbubukas po na konti po natin mga negosyo. Hindi tayo pwede po mag-relax. Alam naman natin na bumababa po yung ating po mga cases, pati yung ating mga utility, ang ating utilization ng ating po mga healthcare, mga hospital, ICU. Pero hindi pa po kailangan po tayo mag-relax para po talagang totally ma-contain po natin itong ating COVID na ito.
And joining us now is San Juan City Mayor Francis Zamora. We're going to get his thoughts on next month's quarantine classification for Metro Manila. Welcome to Dateline Philippines, Mayor Zamora. Nice to have you with us today.
Hey, good afternoon, Carbina, and thank you for having me once again here on ANC.
All right, so Metro Manila mayors are recommending that the quarantine status remain at GCQ for the month of June. How did you arrive at this recommendation? What did you take into consideration?
Well, for one, allow me to share that, yes, I'm in favor of retaining the GCQ. And if needed, we simply just have to increase the operational capacity of whatever businesses and industries are allowed at this point. So this is something that we have been able to do the past few quarantine restrictions. That is why we have some sort of hybrid GCQ, hybrid MECQ. So as not to really open up too fast, but open gradually. So I would rather just increase first existing operational capacity instead of allowing the high-risk businesses and industries to open.
And you feel like all of you mayors together feel that we can take it, the NCR Plus, or at least the Metro Manila mayors think that their cities can take this gradual easing without affecting the COVID numbers. Go ahead.
Yes, because right now here in San Juan, if I may share, we are down to just 159 active cases. And this is in spite of the fact that we are now under GCQ, under strict restrictions. But it does not mean that the numbers will increase. And this is what we experienced last Christmas season, Carmina. We were under GCQ. People were out. They were going to the malls. They were with their families as long as the ages were allowable to go out. But we did not feel or experience any surge. The surge we felt last March, I believe, was really because of the new variants that entered the country. And now that we have been able to bring down the numbers, the challenge really is to sustain the downward trend in spite of the fact that the economy is reopening up slowly.
Have you and your fellow mayors decided as to when you think you'll be ready to further ease restrictions? Are you looking at July? Are you looking at maybe latter part of the year?
Again, we are always numbers-based. In fact, every time we meet us as a Metro Manila Council and with the IATF, the DOH and the NEDA would always present to us the current numbers. And with your question, it will really depend on what numbers we will see before June 15 and before the end of June and subsequently in the coming months. But you know, one thing that I may share is it really helps that we are already vaccinating a lot of our constituents. And as A4 opens, it will help us even more because, for instance, I here in San Juan, my objective is to vaccinate each and every A4 individual, meaning every one who is part of the workforce here in San Juan, regardless if you live here or not, as long as you work here. Even if you're from San Juan who works in other cities, we will vaccinate you as part of the A4 category. And once we achieve that, Carmina, it will really be safer to open up the economy and it will increase the confidence of consumers to enter business establishments, especially once they found out that the employees of that particular store or restaurant, they have been already fully vaccinated.
That really is going to be a game changer. And the plan to vaccinate essential workers is going to be by next month. How confident are you, though, that you're going to have enough supply to vaccinate A4?
As per our meeting with the IATF, they informed us that millions of doses will be arriving in the country by June and July. So we are banking on this commitment from the IATF. However, here in San Juan, again, if I may share, we still have about 15,000 first doses on hand. In fact, we are already done with our A1, A2, and A3 in terms of those who have registered. Now that A4 has not officially started yet, we are saturating all A1, A2, and A3 registrants who may not have received a confirmatory text but want to get vaccinated. So we are now actually physically seeking out for them because based on our registration list, we are already done. So it's possible that they may have registered a landline or an error in the inputting of their mobile numbers in the registration. So we are now using the remaining days before A4 starts to be able to fully vaccinate everyone under A1, A2, and A3. And we are ready, Carmina, for A4. In fact, tomorrow we will be opening our second site, which is the Green Hills Shopping Center. So this is in preparation for the A4 category. I'm thankful that the mall management of Green Hills Shopping Center and Promenade, they have been very cooperative. They have made us use a couple of their cinemas for this purpose, and we will officially launch that tomorrow. As you may know, Green Hills Shopping Center is our main commercial center, and a lot of our A4s work here. So once we achieve that everyone who works here in San Juan has been fully vaccinated, then this will really increase the confidence of consumers to enter our establishments. And this will be the time when we can say that, yes, we can really open up the economy already because we can assure the safety of everyone.
Well, what about vaccine hesitancy, though, Mayor? I've been speaking to, you know, a lot of mayors, a lot of your colleagues these past couple of weeks, and they still have problems with vaccine hesitancy in their respective cities. What about in the city of San Juan? Are you still experiencing vaccine hesitancy, and how are you addressing that?
Carmina, we have vaccinated more than 27,000 San Juaneños, and that's already 32% of our target to be vaccinated. So we are not really experiencing a lot of vaccine hesitancy. But in the few instances that we indeed encounter this, we just basically inform them and educate them. A lot of this really has to do with informing the public regarding the truths and the facts about the vaccine. I myself have been vaccinated. In fact, I've had 2 doses already. So I'm a living testament to the fact that these vaccines are safe. I received 2 doses of Sinovac. I'm perfectly okay. Never felt a single adverse reaction. So I can tell my story to everyone. And the same goes with each and every San Juaneño who has been vaccinated. The word of mouth is very powerful. When they go home to their families, they tell their parents or their children or their neighbors that they have been vaccinated and that there's nothing to worry about. So we are banking on on this. In fact, San Juan has been receiving good feedback regarding our vaccination program. So that really helps in encouraging people to get vaccinated. So at 32%, that's already very high, given that our vaccine supplies basically just increased 2 weeks ago. So as vaccine supplies increase, it'll be a lot easier for us.
Mayor, a while ago you said that you are going to the people now, trying to find them, because as far as you're concerned, you know, you've at least those who have registered, there are those who didn't show up for one reason or another, and you told me a while ago that you're going to these people. How exactly are you doing this? How are you reaching out to your constituents to make sure that, number one, they register, and number two, they show up?
Okay, we have what you call the house-to-house on-the-ground vaccine campaign. So we have a team from the City Health Office, our City Disaster Risk Reduction Management Office, and basically it's a composite team of LGU and barangay staff that go around physically in the barangays to get listings. In fact, they have them; they have with themselves cell phones and tablets so that you can do on-the-spot online registration. We also have barangay-assisted registration in the barangay halls and the health centers. We coordinate with our barangay captains so that they can also go around the respective areas to get listings from people who still want to sign up for the A1, A2, and A3. However, based on our experience, konti na lang talaga, Carmina. Yung 27,000 natin, more or less represents a majority of the A1, A2, A3. We have more than 70,000 registrants already at ito na yung nasa A4, A5. No? Kasi marami talaga yung A4, A5 natin.
Mayor, a while ago you said that we're basically experiencing the same situation as in Christmas in the city of San Juan, where people were out and about. You know, they were going to malls, going to the groceries, and we didn't see a lot. We didn't see a spike at all in the numbers. But how is this current situation now affecting the local economy? Because when you drive around, you really see people. They're out. Either these people have been vaccinated already, but I want to know, how is this reflecting on the numbers insofar as the local economy is concerned, Mayor?
Yes, you will see a lot of people out already. And in fact, a lot of businesses are allowed to open. And that is why I can say that, you know, the economy is slowly restarting. In fact, again, here in San Juan, most establishments that are allowed to open have decided to do so because the market is there. In fact, one major factor really is how do you make the consumers feel safe when they enter your mall, enter your restaurant? That's where the local government comes in. In fact, allow me to share, Carmina, that tomorrow I will be formally launching a program wherein, we will incentivize our vaccine program. So we will coordinate with our business establishments to give discounts and privileges to those who show vaccine cards. And also, we are targeting to vaccinate all employees of all establishments here in the city. And once we complete the two doses of these employees, we will now put a safety seal in their store so that everyone who walks inside will know that all employees there have been fully vaccinated. So we will launch this formally tomorrow, since we are launching also officially our Green Hill Shopping Center site. So that is our activity tomorrow to further boost the confidence of people in our vaccination program.
Well, Mayor, it looks like things are going well in San Juan, but when you talk about your party, PDP Laban, not so much. What is happening in your party? Are you going to the National Assembly that was called, Mayor?
I received my invitation earlier today. I have not been able to review the agenda yet because we have been focused with our COVID response and the vaccination program. So I will just have to review first what will be discussed later. So I don't want to preempt the agenda or the discussions at this point.
Well, obviously there's something that's going on, but the question now is, Mayor, how strong is the party? that it will be able to withstand whatever it is that's happening now, with just a few months to go before 2022?
I believe that PDP Laban remains very strong, but I, as mayor, and I'm sure all local government officials, just like myself, who are members of the party, are really focused now on our COVID response and vaccination program. I, as mayor, I can really say that my number one priority at this point is to vaccinate our entire population. Of course, you have to be qualified in terms of age and prioritization. But at this point, that is our main focus. And I believe this is also the focus of each and every PDP Laban member now.
We're going to have to leave it at that. San Juan Mayor Francis Zamora, thank you so much for joining us today. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you very much, Carmina.
Right. Moving on. The COVID isolation ward and intensive care unit at the Southern Philippines Medical Center in Davao City, now at critical levels amid a surge in patients there. The medical center's chief doctor, Ricardo Audan, says they are also facing a shortage in manpower. SPMC's nurse-to-patient ratio is currently at 1:30. That's more than double the ideal ratio of 1:12. Dr. Audan blames the spike in infections to the public's complacency.
Last month, last April of this year, our data actually decreased while Manila, Metro Manila, is increasing. So probably because of complacency, the people now engage in group outings, they're engaged in, you know, gatherings, and probably because of they have been vaccinated.
The health department recorded 7,058 new coronavirus cases Sunday, bringing the country's total to over 1.2 million. This marked the third straight day that the country recorded more than 7,000 cases. The last time this happened was in early May. Active cases currently stand at 53,757. Meanwhile, 139 more deaths were reported, pushing the death toll to 20,680. This is also the fifth straight day over 100 deaths were tallied. The country also saw 6,852 new infections. Sorry, new recoveries, I should say. A local research group suggesting the extension of the general community quarantine with heightened restrictions in Metro Manila for another week. Dr. Butch Ong of the Octo Research Group says that's so they can further study the trend in COVID-19 cases. He notes the trend in the national capital region remains unstable.
According sa datos ng Department of Health, no, ang ating reproduction number ngayon ay nasa 0.69, no. And bumabagal ang pagbaba ng ating reproduction number. In fact, the last few days, kung mapapansin natin, bumabalik tayo sa 7,000 to 8,000 new cases per day, no. So siguro ay dapat pag-aralan pa siguro ng maigi kung ready na ba tayo bumaba sa MGCQ. We already know na nasa heightened GCQ tayo. Sabihin na dahan-dahan na binubuksan ang industriya. No? So every week, no, nakikita naman natin na yung percent occupancy ng isang facility ay tumataas ng dahan-dahan.
The Philippines receives its third batch of Sputnik V. The shipment contained 50,000 doses of the Russian-made COVID-19 vaccine. The Philippines has secured a total of 10 million doses of Sputnik V, which will be delivered in tranches within a four-month period.
Nakikita namin sa this coming June 7 and onwards, mapapabilis tayo. Nakita natin ngayon na we are very thankful na we have already breached in 5 million. So meron tayong 5,120,023 vaccines that have already been administered. And hopefully, by June, we can bridge also for another 4 million. Ang ano namin, target namin is ma-bridge namin yung 10 million by end of June.
It's a very important year of our bilateral relations because this year we are celebrating 45th anniversary of the establishment of the diplomatic relations. And the vaccine cooperation is a good contribution to strengthen our relations.
The Philippines' third economic stimulus bill, or Bayanihan 3, unlikely to hurdle the Senate this week. That's according to Senate President Vicente Sonto III. House Majority Leader Martin Romualdez had said the House of Representatives will pass Bayanihan 3 before Congress adjourns sine die on Friday. But Sonto says the Senate might not have enough time to look into it. He notes senators are likely to take it up when sessions resume come August.
Nevertheless, as far as Bayanihan 2 is concerned, we still have it's still ongoing, and there are unprogrammed, unfunded, or unused funds. The programmed funds, I understand, is about has only been 50% of the total allocation, and out of the 50% that has been allocated, only 70% is used. So, aside from the time constraints, there is difficulty on trying to finish up with Bayanihan 2, which we have extended to until the end of the year. And then Bayanihan 3, with the differences from the Senate version and the House version, very doubtful in the next 4 days.
Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno agrees with Senator Sonto that there's still a lot of money floating around unspent. For him, the best thing government can do to stimulate the economy is to ramp up COVID-19 vaccinations.
Now, with the successful vaccination program, I think we might have a chance to hit at least 6%. Because with the vaccination, you gain confidence, the consumers. That will, of course, lead to more economic activity.
Elsewhere in the world, Brazilians once again took to the streets to protest against President Jair Bolsonaro's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has killed more than 450,000 people there. More in this report.
Protesters across Brazil took to the streets Saturday, demonstrating outrage against President Jair Bolsonaro's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Some chanted no to dictatorship and held signs that read, out with Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro's popularity has plummeted during the coronavirus crisis, which has killed more than 450,000 Brazilians. The far-right leader has played down its severity, dismissed mask wearing, and cast doubt on the importance of vaccines. In Rio de Janeiro, protester Joana Martins said she wants him gone.
Impeachment now. Out with Bolsonaro. I can't stand him anymore. There will be more deaths if he stays on. How many more deaths before there is a political hearing?
The protesters also called for faster vaccinations nationwide. Organized by leftist political parties, unions, and student associations, Saturday's protests in at least 16 Brazilian cities were mainly peaceful. But in the northeastern city of Recife, police threw tear gas and shot rubber bullets.
South Africa imposes stricter COVID-19 restrictions to combat a surge in new cases there. President Cyril Ramaphosa announced Sunday the nightly curfew has been extended. This means non-essential establishments like restaurants, bars, and fitness centers will need to close by 10 in the evening. Social gatherings will also be limited to a maximum of 100 people indoors and up to 250 people outdoors. Ramaphosa said the country's health experts recommended tighter restrictions due to a sustained uptick in hospital admissions in almost all provinces. The U.S. continues to loosen pandemic restrictions, and as this report tells us, America's three main movie theater chains are waiving the mask requirement for people who are fully vaccinated against the coronavirus.
The three main movie theater chains in the U.S. announced that masks are no longer required for people fully vaccinated against COVID-19 as vaccine rollout and reopening plans march on nationwide. AMC, Cinemark, and Regal Cinemas on Friday said that moviegoers who are not fully vaccinated will be asked to continue wearing masks. AMC's website read, quote, "In accordance with CDC guidelines, masks are not required for guests who are fully vaccinated. If you are not fully vaccinated, we ask that you continue to wear a mask throughout the theater unless actively enjoying food or drinks." Similar updates to mask policy were made on Regal and Cinemark websites. All three chains said they would follow state and local mandates on mask wearing, which may be different from the CDC guidelines. Other social distancing measures and cleaning protocols will remain in place. The move was made some 2 weeks after the CDC said that fully vaccinated people can avoid wearing masks indoors in most places. Moviegoing has begun ramping up in the U.S. after lengthy closures and a lack of new film releases.
Berliners have a taste of normal life as the number of new COVID-19 cases in Germany continues to drop. Enjoying the first warm summer days of the year, many went on bike rides along the lakes for the first time in months. Others lifted a cold one as beer gardens resumed serving customers after a long shutdown. Last month, Germany eased restrictions for fully vaccinated citizens or those who have recovered from the virus. We're going to take a break now. Still to come, some parts of Mindanao drenched in heavy rains while Metro Manila is baking under the summer sun. We'll also have the latest on the NBA playoffs when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on AMC. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. New quarantine classifications for the Philippines are set to be announced today. Mayors in Metro Manila in favor of keeping the general community quarantine status. Senate President Vicente Soto III says it is unlikely the Philippines' third economic stimulus bill will hurdle the Senate this week. A rift in the ruling party. Party Chairman President Duterte orders the PDP Laban to push through with its meeting today, overruling Party President Manny Pacquiao's directive for members to ignore it. And Tropical Storm Dante dumps rains over parts of Mindanao as it moves northward. Back with more news. Metro Manila sizzled under the summer heat Sunday. Three PAGASA monitoring stations in the capital registered heat indices of 41 degrees Celsius or even higher. The airport area in Pasay City registered the highest heat index at 45 degrees Celsius and an ambient air temperature of 34.7 degrees. Other areas which registered high heat indices are Apari, Cagayan at 46, and both Sangley Point in Cavite and Tuguegarao City at 45. Weather Bureau PAGASA warns heat indices of 41 to 54 degrees could lead to heat cramps, heat exhaustion, as well as heat stroke. PAGASA recommends staying indoors, wearing lightweight and light-colored clothing, and drinking plenty of water. The University of the Philippines Faculty of Law calling on President Rodrigo Duterte to retract his statement on the arbitration ruling favoring the Philippines in its maritime row with China. Duterte called that ruling a mere scrap of paper. The UP Faculty of Law also objects to the president's claim China is already in possession of the West Philippine Sea. The law professors described Duterte's words as disheartening for Filipino fishermen and demoralizing to the country's uniformed personnel. They argue the Hague ruling should be a source of pride for Filipinos. The Philippines' ruling political party, PDP-Laban, to push through with its executive council meeting today. That's despite what seems to be an ongoing feud among its leaders. Party President Senator Manny Pacquiao and party vice chair, Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi. Pacquiao, who is rumored to be gunning for the presidency in 2022, previously told members to ignore the meeting. Malacanang has since stepped in, with palace spokesperson Harry Roque saying no less than President Rodrigo Duterte himself ordered Cusi to preside over the meeting. But the party's executive director, Ron Munsaya, questions Roque's statements. He says Duterte did not reach out to party members. This is not the first time Pacquiao and Cusi butted heads after the vice chair proposed other potential presidential candidates for the party. Senate President Vicente Soto III says he is open to running for vice president in 2022, but that's if he decides not to retire and promised a bigger role if he wins vice president. Soto wants to be Senator Panfilo Lacson's running mate.
I have to admit, I'm thinking about it. You know, unlike the other politicians who say they're not running, but on the day of the registration, what would make me run? For example, if the vice president would be handling the problem on, let's say, illegal drugs and drug abuse. So that's what I'm saying. You enlarge the program and you enlarge the office of the vice president to do that, to be able to do that. Uh-oh. Something like that. Now, if we do that, perhaps, yes, I will consider.
World News Now, Benjamin Netanyahu's record run as Israeli prime minister may soon come to an end. That's after far-right party leader Naftali Bennett threw his support behind a unity government. The decision could enable opposition chief Yair Lapid to put together a coalition of parties and hand Netanyahu his first election defeat since 1999. Lapid, whose party finished second to Netanyahu's in an inconclusive March 23 national ballot, faces a Wednesday deadline from Israel's president to announce a new government under a prospective power-sharing deal. Bennett would replace Netanyahu as prime minister and later give way to Lapid in a rotation agreement. Israel has held four elections since April 2019 that ended with no clear winner, allowing Netanyahu to remain in office as head of a caretaker government. A U.S. Republican senator believes a compromise on the Biden administration's massive $1.7 trillion infrastructure plan still possible. But as this report tells us, the two sides are still several hundred million dollars apart from reaching a deal.
Negotiations between U.S. Democratic President Joe Biden and Republican senators over an infrastructure package are inching forward, even though disagreements remain. Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito told Fox News Sunday, quote, "I think we can get to real compromise, absolutely, because we're both still in the game." Capito leads a group of six Republicans who have been in regular contact with the White House. Her side last week proposed $928 billion to improve roads, bridges, and other traditional infrastructure projects. Much of the funding would come from reallocating money meant for other programs. The Biden administration's latest offer in negotiations is for $1.7 trillion and would include projects such as home care for the elderly. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg described negotiations to ABC's This Week, saying, quote, "There's movement in the right direction, but a lot of concerns." One of the many sticking points, the White House wants to offset the cost of the plan with new taxes on the wealthy and on corporations. When asked about rolling back some of the tax cuts enacted during the Trump administration, Capito said, quote, "I'm not going to vote to overturn those." She also held the line against funding for projects that go beyond physical infrastructure. The talks were expected to continue this week, even though Congress is on a break, with the Senate returning on June 7th.
Back here at home, a tropical storm Dante continues to bring rains over parts of Mindanao as it moves northward. Let's know more or find out more from PAGASA weather forecaster Chris Perez. He now joins us on the line. Chris, what more can you tell us?
Good afternoon, Carmina. So far, tropical storm Dante continues to move over the eastern seaboard of Mindanao. And as of 10 a.m. today, it was estimated at about 515 kilometers east-northeast of Davao City. Dante has a maximum sustained winds of about 75 kilometers per hour near its center and gustiness of up to 90 kilometers per hour. It is moving northwest at about 20 kilometers per hour. In the next 3 to 5 days, Dante expected to move closer towards the eastern seaboard of Visayas, then towards the eastern seaboard of Luzon, until it exits the northern boundary of the air responsibility by Saturday. We are not expecting any landfall scenario. However, there's a possibility that the warning signals may be hoisted over some provinces at the eastern section of Luzon and of Visayas sometime between tomorrow or Wednesday. The public and the local government and disaster risk reduction managers, especially at the provinces over the eastern section of Luzon and Visayas, are advised to continue monitoring for the 6-hourly update about Tropical Storm Dante. The next one will be issued at 5 p.m. today. Meanwhile, over in Metro Manila, we will continue to experience warm and humid weather conditions apart from some isolated afternoon or evening rain showers brought about by localized thunderstorm. And that's the latest here at PAGASA Weather Forecasting Center. I'm Chris Perez reporting for ANC.
Thanks a lot, Chris. You and the rest of the team there, take care and keep safe. More news now. The Philippine Senate unlikely to further tackle proposed economic amendments in the Constitution before Congress adjourns this Friday. Senate President Vicente Soto III says the upper chamber will instead look into the so-called economic cha-cha again when it resumes sessions in August. But he notes majority of the senators are not inclined to support it. He adds the executive department did not even consider it a priority measure.
Hindi naman certified. What can we do in 4 days?
Yeah, I have to be very blunt and frank about it. In the Senate, the way I size up my colleagues, a big majority are not in favor of any tax change. Mm. I myself, you know, but if we're talking of charter amendments or amendment, then that's possible. Mm. That's possible, but charter change itself, doubtful. Before tinkering with the Constitution. Mm-mm. What we have on our plates right now would be a good solution to some of these.
The House of Representatives has approved the resolution on second reading last week. The proposed amendments seek to relax constitutional limits on foreign investments in the Philippines. Lawmakers have repeatedly denied the measure will pave the way for term extensions. A group of farmers here in the Philippines slamming government's move to lower tariffs on imported rice. The Federation of Free Farmers believes the move was meant to favor several countries, including Pakistan, China, and India, and not to ease the burden of consumers. The group earlier said the cut in tariff was baseless since prices of rice had been stable.
They are trying to encourage investments from India. No? And of course, when you try to encourage them to come in, you also have to offer some type of incentive. The Indian government had been requesting the Philippine government since last year to reduce the tariffs on Indian rice. And then there is already an ongoing negotiation between Philippines and India for a bilateral trade agreement.
The Philippine Trade Department insists tariffs on imported rice were not reduced due to trade talks with other countries. The Agriculture Department also denying the accusation.
That's not true. Para ma-maintain natin ang presyo ng bigas, alam natin tumataas ang global prices. So you need to broaden your market sources.
Earlier this month, President Duterte reduced tariffs of imported rice from 40 to 35%. Government said the move would help ensure food security in the country. as the pandemic make that as the COVID-19 pandemic rages on, the work from home setup is definitely here to stay. Marie Dozano gives us tips on how to spruce up the workspace at home.
Much like in office spaces, it is also important to look our best in virtual meetings. One of the ways to achieve this is through elevating our video call backdrops with the right lighting and furnishings. To know more about this, we had a chat with Moss Manila's co-founder and design director, Cindy Beltran.
Lighting is such an important factor in work from home. So you have to be able to position your table where you have a good light source, whether that's a natural light source, which is a window.
Cindy notes that placing ring lights in the right places can also help enhance your visual register during a virtual meeting.
Try to not have a light that goes directly above the head, because that's going to create shadows.
When picking a background for video calls, Cindy recommends neutral colored walls.
Just elevate that by simply hanging a wall art or a plant, but I suggest to really just keep it minimal, just so that it doesn't feel very cluttered.
If there are limited options in your home, you may opt to get wallpapers in muted palettes and fine textures. Just make sure that they're in contrast with your skin color and outfits so that you can stand out in the frame. If you have a more spacious work area, you can place a console table or bookshelf on your background. These functional and stylish furniture can add a depth of field on your virtual setup.
I think a nice console table against the wall would be a good sort of like table canvas to put a nice vase, you know, or a nice picture. I like layering pictures, picture frames or artwork. If you have an etagere or a nice shelf that you can curate with decor, statement pieces on those shelving alongside with books, alongside with, you know, nice folio boxes. That would be, a good accent.
To maintain the attention of the audience, the speaker must always be at the center of the frame. This is why Cindy emphasizes the need for visual symmetry and putting furniture as part of the backdrop.
Nothing becomes too heavy on the right, nothing becomes too heavy on the left. So try to make sure that the decors that you put create that kind of balance.
The right colors, lighting, and furnishings can definitely elevate your work-from-home setup. But Cindy believes that adding pieces that reflect your personality will always be the best way to spice up your virtual backdrops.
If you really just have to add your personality into your backdrop, you know, no matter what you do, you really have to add statement pieces to reflect your personality.
There are many ways to improve your virtual backdrops. You just have to be creative and make the best of what you have at home.
Catch the rest of this Cityscape episode on Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening, only here on ANC. On to some sports action now. The Filipino Flash, Nonito Donaire, back on top of the boxing world. Donaire stopped the previously undefeated French boxer Nordine Ubali to capture the WBC bantamweight title. Donaire scored a technical knockout in the fourth round as he dominated his much younger opponent. He is now the oldest boxer in history to hold the title in the bantamweight division.
I had proven to the world that, man, I'm back and I'm stronger than ever. The six rounds, because not because I was cocky, but because I was very confident in my ability to know exactly what I need to do in there. The strategy that we put together. There's a Filipino champion regardless, you know, but for me now, it's just mainly getting that goal, and that is winning and becoming undisputed.
On to the NBA playoffs. The Phoenix Suns get back at the Los Angeles Lakers to tie their first round series. Phoenix All-Star Chris Paul went from sitting out Game 4 to leading his team to a 100-92 victory that leveled their series at 2 games apiece. Paul, who has been bothered by a shoulder injury, led the Suns with 18 points and 9 assists. Aside from losing the game, the Lakers now face the possibility of missing their all-star big man Anthony Davis, who did not play in the second half due to a groin injury. In today's other NBA playoff results, the Brooklyn Nets and the Atlanta Hawks are on the verge of advancing. The Nets took care of business, routing the Boston Celtics 141-126. Brooklyn's big three of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden silenced the Boston crowd by combining for 104 points. They're now up 3-1 in the series. Trae Young and the Hawks have a similar series lead after dominating the New York Knicks 113-96 in Game 4. Young went for 27 points as the Hawks eye their first playoff series victory since 2016. Also today, the Los Angeles Clippers outplayed the Dallas Mavericks to level their first round matchup at 2 games each. In football, Chelsea fans celebrate the club's Champions League final victory in the streets of London. Take a look.
London was alive with triumph after Chelsea beat out Manchester City in an all-English Champions League final on Saturday. Kai Havertz scored the game's only goal, securing Chelsea their second ever title. Fans screamed, hugged, and sang songs to celebrate clinching Europe's most prestigious club honour.
London has just shut down because we have won the Champions League. And I hope it does not open another week.
And after coming so close to their first would-be win, disappointed Man City fans were left to wonder what went wrong.
We've been beaten by them twice this season already, and we've been beaten the same way tonight, so really, we should have done our homework the way they did their homework on us.
The finals was held at the Drahau Stadium in Porto, Portugal. European soccer governing body UEFA moved the match there from Istanbul in order to allow English fans to travel there as long as they test negative. That's after Portugal made a last-minute decision to relax social distancing rules for the deciding match. The crowds of maskless fans, however, had Porto's residents on edge. One local student called the scene disturbing. Some residents fear a spike in infections because of the highly contagious variant spreading in parts of England after being identified in India.
ABS-CBN drops its official summer station ID for this year. The music video of Feel Good Filipinas features some of the network's biggest names as well as Filipino families as they dance along to the beat. The summer station ID hopes to show everyone can find the light within themselves and share that with others no matter how dark some days may be, especially amid this pandemic. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Karina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.